Today we're going to complete the series on the Beatitudes, living the Beatitudes. So Matthew chapter 5, if you have your Bible and like to turn with me. It's been a great series. It's really fed me as well. And so God's Word is just good, isn't it? In fact, I just love Sundays, don't you? Today we just rest and we get a little Word inside of us and we get led into the presence of the Lord. And because this is a good day to be here and what we're going to teach today and what we're going through, okay? Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And this verse almost ties back into the last verse, but the poor in spirit could be, you just feel bankrupt today. You feel like, you know, there's nothing powerful or you know, how we have a sense of power and strength to do everyday business. How many knows it takes energy just to get through the day in America? People's going to honk at you and people's going to, you know, just be on your case, and so it takes a lot of energy and a good positive attitude some days just to make it through the day, doesn't it? Just to have a good day and not let people rob your joy. Anybody ever have somebody around you try to rob your joy? Michael's talking to Addie when she's big enough to start communicating, our granddaughter, and he told her one day, he said, I got your goat. He reached over and just, you know, like, I got your goat. And she just was frantic and ran into her mom and said, Daddy got my goat. And I thought, that's the way we are as Christians a lot of time. I got your joy, you know, and we just run in crying and pounce, somebody got my joy. Well, he's just sad because somebody got my joy. And so we begin to train her, don't tell Daddy where your goat's tied up at. Don't tell the devil where your joy's tied up at. You know? Don't make it available for public taking. Set your face before you get up. Because the kingdom of heaven, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, you know what? You have access to the power to receive joy and peace of mind and whatever you need. Yours is the kingdom of God when you're in that place. And I love this. This is a predicament, an issue, and a blessing, and a promise. An issue and a blessing. And it says, verse 4, blessed are those who mourn. If you're mourning today, he said, you know what? You'll be comforted. Now you got to reach out, but you'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, you don't have to bully your way through this planet. Some people do. Don't you have people around you in your office, school, wherever you are, and they'll bully their way into whatever they're trying to do. You know, and they'll use curse words, they'll use whatever it is, force, they'll get in your face, and most of the people that are like that, I found deep down, they're really cowards. If you confront them. Because I've confronted a lot of them. One of my guesses is when we were going through evangelism was confrontational evangelism. I thought, and that's not in a good sense, I don't think. And so I had to really key that back because, you know, it's a different message. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. We sang about that this morning, didn't we? And so he's filling us. When you're hungry for the right thing, you'll be filled. Last night on the plane, when we got to Dallas and we were coming home, we sat down by a guy and he was reading a book called Blue Ocean. Blue Ocean. And I asked him, well, my business partner was sitting beside him, and I went back to the restroom before he took off, and I came back, and they were talking. And I looked at John, and I said, how many times did I tell you not to talk to strangers when I'm gone? So it kind of opened up a conversation, and he was, this guy's name was Bob, who probably 62 or 3 years old, and he said he carries around a sheet of paper that his uncle gave him 20 years ago, that has core values that, and he didn't identify it, but I said, that's your core value list is what that is, and you live by them. He said, well, yeah, it is my core values. But the top one was do what is right. And he said, after carrying it around for 20 years, and he showed me the piece of paper when we got off the plane and we were walking out, and he showed me the piece of paper, this notebook, and it was old, and it had coffee stains on it, and had it laminated so it wouldn't fall apart. And he said, here's what I discovered when I do what's right. He said, all the others take care of themselves. Blessed are those are the righteous, for they shall be filled. Do what's right. Do what's right. And he let me read his list of the other things, you know, and whatever you do, do it gladly, you know, and that's scriptural, isn't it? Whatever you do, do as unto the Lord, heartily, you know, and with all your heart. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. All you that, like Dorothy and Thelma, that's got the high gift of mercy, you know what? You'll get mercy. You sow it, so you'll reap it. On the gifts test, most of my congregation here knows, it's been here a while, from 1 to 16, I scored a 2 in mercy. Part of the training I was doing this weekend, I mentioned that, and two people, one of them was a doctor and one of them was a bishop, and both of them said, we have 0 on that same test. I felt pretty good. I thought, wow. And that showed my low mercy, didn't it? I mean, and I told him what I told him about, because I was talking about when you're a coach and you're introducing yourself to someone, you know, you're setting the transparency bar. How many knows that when you meet somebody new, you set the transparency bar? If you're superficial, it's all on the surface, that's where they're going to be with you. But if you'll tell something of your faults and flaws and your struggles, people, that helps them to be more transparent. So that's what I was teaching on. And it was just hilarious. How many have seen the little Geico commercial where he says, does Geico save you money? And it says, does the drill sergeant make a good counselor? And the guy's laying on the couch and the old drill sergeant's over there. And he says, I think that color just makes me sad. And the drill sergeant counselor says, you know what makes me sad is mamby-pamby people like you. And the guy pokers up and starts crying, and the guy grabs the box of Kleenex. I'm sorry, you need a Kleenex, and throws the Kleenex box at the guy on the couch. And I said, now I'm not that bad, but I can relate to him. That's my, yeah. I wouldn't throw it. I would want to, but I wouldn't. That's a gift of 2 and a gift of 0. Oh, Lordy. But I have learned, if I want to receive mercy, I need to give some mercy. And so I work on that. You know, I work on that. And I'm getting better as I get older and more mellow. And so if you want some mercy in life, he said, you know what? Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. So there's a sowing and a reaping there. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Bob's list, do what is right. Keep your heart pure. Check your motives often. Now, that's a great principle that I live by. Almost any time there's any kind of issue or controversy in my life, I always say, first thing I want to do is check my motives. I mean, just have an honest, heart-to-heart talk with me and say, what is your motive in this issue? How do you feel about that person or this issue or this thing that's coming, you know, this conflict, this controversy? How do you feel about that? And that's been such a great tool in my toolbox in life, is just keeping that mercy, that pure heart, checking my motives. And I'm telling you, if you'll check your heart, one of our students this week, he's a bishop over like 1,100 churches, and we started coaching him, doing a live illustration, and it got a little emotional. We didn't realize, I mean, he's a bishop, right? And so we think he's just stable, and it came down to he began weeping about a lady that's given him heck in this organization that he runs, and it's in 3 or 4 countries, and it was just bad, and this is what we took him to, was check your motives and go forward. How many knows that we always ought to face our opposition, but if you do it with a pure heart, then God will be with you. The anointing of God and the blessings of God to be with you. It doesn't matter, you know, if your business, if your church, if it's family, or some of your military, or whatever you are, it works. It works. If you'll keep, you know, check your motives, keep your heart pure, as you're walking through, you'll feel the strength and the blessings of the Lord. And if you don't, then you can walk alone. You know, David said, though I walk through the shallow valley of death, thou art with me. Well, he knew he's with him because he knew his heart was right. I mean, those, when he went to Bathsheba, God wasn't with him. And it cost him dearly, didn't it? So you have to keep your heart pure. And it's a great reward in keeping our heart pure. Check your motives when you're going through things. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. All my life I've been a peacemaker. Isn't that funny? Low mercy, but I love making peace. I love people who live in their sweet spot and be peaceful and happy with what you're doing, and you know, and those sort of things. So, but when you get a chance and there's controversy, be a peacemaker. Be a peacemaker, because there's a reward that goes along with it. He said, you'll be called the sons of God. Isn't that awesome? You'll be called the sons of God. In other words, you'll look like God. You'll have your character list, your values list, like Bob had on the plane last night. Blessed are those, and here's where we're going today, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Breathe again. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then it goes a little farther. Blessed are you when they revile you. How many knows that's worse than persecution? We have a bully problem in our schools that's been on TV lately for almost weekly for the last several weeks and even months, really. But there's a bully problem, and people, there was one young man that's a talented musician, and he was a homosexual, and somebody, one of his roommates got a hold of him. You said on the news, and they broadcast it across the internet, and the young man went out and killed himself. How many knows as Christians we're to love everybody? You know. Because how many knows we all have some kind of sin or vice that we have to struggle with? So we'll just love you and hate your vice. You can just love me and hate my vices. Whatever it is. Don't matter what it is. Whatever it is. I think the church needs to change its attitude about homosexuals or witches, you know, and or whatever. You know, there's all kinds of churches here in our, that's homosexual churches, satanic churches. You know, but we need to love them all and despise the sin and help them to make that distinction. Make that distinction in our heart, because that's when we begin to look like Christ. We don't look like the reviler. Too many times the church looks like the one that's doing the reviling. I mean, knows you're not judge or you're not jury. I'm not, but God, we'll let God do that. And He said, love your neighbor as what? As yourself. Most of us took good care of ourselves this morning. You know, we got up and brushed our teeth and, you know, got all cleaned up, put on our church clothes and came to church, you know. And then we'll go out after church and we'll feed ourselves and probably, how many gets a church nap on Sunday? Let me see your hand. And then all the rest of you didn't raise your hand. We know you nod off and nap, so it's okay. Just come out of denial. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now, it didn't say, how many know sometimes we need to read what it didn't say? He said it didn't say, blessed are those that act like a doofus, or blessed are those that, you know, act ungodly. He said, for righteous sake. You're getting this flack, or, you know, we call it, man, you know, just they've just been following me around, you know, just boy trouble, and we'll try to describe it in words. How many remembers Cheers? I used to love the old movie or sitcom Cheers, and remember when Norm would come in? You ever feel like Norm? I used to love the saying. He'd say, "How you doing, Norm?" He'd say, "I'm living in a dog eat dog world and wearing milk bone underwear." Remember that? How many ever felt like Norm? Yeah. And that's life. I mean, that's life. You know, we're Christians and we love God and all, but we're in a system that's what it's made up of, right? It's made up of trials and people that we have to put up with. That's and the difference between us and the world is we're supposed to be light. How many knows when you turn the lights on in this room, you can see more clearly? I've been in here when the lights go off and it's dark in here. I mean, it's very dark in here. And so that's the way we're supposed to be. As we come, and the revilers and those that's persecuting us, part of that blessing that comes here is because we're bringing the light. How many knows when the light exposes things, then all of a sudden you have to do with what something with the thing that is exposed. And that's what light does. And here's the thing I want you to get. We shouldn't be... We don't have to verbalize this light and give people, thump them on the head with scripture and all that kind of stuff. That's not our job. Our job is just to be pure and check our motives and be merciful and walk into the room and let God be the director. One of our bishops in the Free Methodist, he said, you know what? He said, here's what you need to do. He said, just be the hands of God extended. Be salt and light wherever you go. And if necessary, use words. I mean, because what you do and what I do is a lot more important than our words. So if necessary, use words. We want to go in with the Word and just, you know, start trying to clean them out and change them and all this stuff. No, just show up. Be light and salt. And if necessary, use words. Use words if that's necessary. Okay? But he says, blessed are those when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now, there's the issue. Now, watch the reward. Blessed are you, or rejoice and be exceedingly glad. This literally means, if you go back to the Greek, this literally means to jump for joy. Let me ask you something. How many has ever practiced that in your walk? Somebody just eating you up one side and down the other, telling lies, and kind of like our politicians are doing on the TV right now. How many's confused as I am about who's what? My wife asked me, are you voting for Mary or Jerry? I said, well, you know, and I won't give you my opinion because that's your deal. But, I know who I'm voting. 744, do you have a clue? Do you have a clue? See, we don't want to get political, but, I mean, you know, what's the truth? What's the truth? Just one lie. You know, Todd Lamb, did he do it or not? The district attorney said he did. The district attorney said he didn't. Did he do it or not? And this is what we live in. This is our leaders. This is who's leading us and wanting to lead us. But he says in here, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. When they're lying, they're abusing, jump up and down for joy. Be exceedingly glad. Be cheerful. And now, and here's something. I want to give you something. This is worth coming today just for this. There's a bonus check in the mail for you when you get persecuted. How many likes bonus checks? You just need to learn how to open the mailbox. When I went and sat down a while ago, I looked in my envelope. Bonus check. Made my wife smile. I like bonus checks, don't you? Yeah. Listen. Let me give you a picture you can understand. Because we don't understand this, I don't think. Because we don't act like we understand this when we're in trouble. We don't. I've never seen anybody come in so happy and rejoicing and jumping for joy. And I say, what's wrong? Oh, I'm getting persecuted everywhere. Oh! Have you ever seen anybody do that? Well, we'd want to put them in a mental home, right? Pray for Brother Jack. I think he's cracking. That's what we'd want to do. Is that what the Bible said to do? That's what the Bible said to do, but we don't practice it because we're not a culture that's been trained that, you know what, when you're under persecution for righteous sake, in other words, you did the right thing, that's righteous sake. Bob's list, do the right thing. Do the right thing. It was funny last night, he said, he asked what we did, and we told him we were life coaches and where we'd been to training and all, and he said, there's a life coach been calling me and said she wants $3,000 a year to help me with my business. Well, that's pretty cheap. You ought to hire her. He said, well, aren't you a life coach? And I said, yeah. That's why I know you need one. You ought to hire her. And he said, are you trying to close the sale? I said, no, I'm trying to help you, Bob. Are you listening? All people always think you got a motive, don't they? I thought, I don't know you. I don't even really care what you do. I'm just telling you because he was griping about some of the stuff and he owns a couple of businesses and doing really well, but he's not happy. I mean, no, owning stuff and having stuff won't make you happy if it manages you and you don't manage it. I said, from what you've just told me, I said, it sounds like you need time management. And I can't tell you any more than that or I'd have to charge you. I just messed with him. And I kind of poked at it. He said, well, I wouldn't hire you. And I said, I don't want you to hire me. I want you to hire her and get you some help so you can be happy. Do the right thing. Before he left, he said something. He started asking us questions. And so we helped him a little bit. I said, here's what we do. I said, you ever seen the guys that stand there with, we'll work for food? I said, we'll work for golf. Because he asked us if we golfed. I said, I hadn't golfed. I ride bikes and I do fun stuff. I take my time. And I said, but We would work for golf. Would we work for golf? John said, yeah, we'll work for golf. He said, you mean I can ask you questions on the golf course if I pay for your golf? And I said, that's what work for golf is. See? Because I know my reward doesn't come from potential customers. It comes from Jesus. Somebody's been putting in time for Him to try to coach Him. Let them coach Him. See, here's the thing we need to do. Remember who your rewarder is. It's God. It's not your company. It's not society. Now, you put in time for them. They'll reward you and bless you. I've been coaching my wife for about 2 months now on her job, and so she finally just realized her value. She went in and negotiated, and boy, she got a huge raise. I mean, big raise. But you got to know your worth. He said, blessed are these kind of people. And he didn't say, you notice he didn't say, blessed are the sharp dressed and the pretty people and the people that's really got a lot on the ball. No, blessed are the poor in the spirit, those that are crying, those that the meek, those that are hungry and thirsty. These are the kind of people. He said, you know what? You are blessed. And then he goes on down and says, and when the world is on your case and they're persecuting you, you ought to really rejoice because that's the ones that really get the blessings. Let me give you an example. If one of your children, if they're walking along and boy, they fall down, they hurt and skin their knees, what do you do? You're going to scoop them up, won't you? And you'll clean them off and you'll bless them and you'll say, do you need something? You know, do you need something? I come home yesterday and Addie's got all kinds of toys and candy and stuff. And guess where she got it? From her nanny. Yeah. From her nanny. In fact, I thought it was really cute because Jana was in Cracker Barrel the other night. She said, let's go to Cracker Barrel and eat. I got to dress up. And so, guess what my wife went at? Now, don't tell her. Well, you promise, raise your hand. You won't tell her. I have informants all in the house. She dressed up as a witch. A pastor's wife. And that's what she was at her company the other day, you know. How many knows when you get free, you can just do anything? When we're not under bondage, we're not Pharisees, we can just have a little fun. We can have fun. We can hunt colored Easter eggs.
That's right.
We can get Christmas presents to each other without bondage. We can put a tree up and decorate it in the house. We don't feel any condemnation. Because you're free. You're not worshiping a tree. You're worshiping God. This is what He provided on the planet. And then last night, guess what Addie went as? Nanny's witch costume. Going around churches. And then they asked Addie, they said, are you a good witch or a bad witch? She said, a bad one. How many know she's having fun? And that same little bad witch, how many knows when she needs something and she falls or somebody picks on that little bad witch, you just better watch for the main witch because she's coming to your face. That's a God trait. That's what God is trying to tell us here is my children, when you're not only being persecuted, but you're being reviled, when somebody's slandering your name like the politicians are doing on our TV screens right now, He said, I just want you to know, as my child, I'll be there for you. You can trust me, and I'm not only going to show up when you're going through that, but I'm going to bless you with reward. Now, here's the problem. We're not connecting with what God's telling us, and so we're not receiving the reward. What we're receiving is stress and worry and doubt, and we become introverts and all these kind of things, but we're not relating to what God's telling us here, and that's what I hope you catch today. Everybody's going to go through something. Everybody. He said they persecuted the prophets who were before you. In other words, this has been going on for a long time, baby. We think it's new and it's unique to us, and it's not. Whatever kind of persecution you've gone through or going through, somebody else has went through that much or more. You know, a while ago when the elder was showing the shoebox thing, that's one of his passions. He gets very excited about that every year and has led us in giving away hundreds and hundreds of shoeboxes over the years. But he sees past the present, and he sees into the poverty, and he sees into the need. And so he leads us in this every year and makes effort to do that. And our church has been blessed by it to give out. And probably even souls will be awarded to our body and to you that go out and do that because of the need. And we live in such blessing, but we can't see the blessings that God wants to bestow on us as His children when He's ready to bless us. What do you think the mother, the human mother, or the animal mother, the chicken, the bear, the lion, all of those, if you mess with one of their cubs and you begin to persecute and bring stress on one of their cubs or their little babies, how many is all of them will come after you? I tell you, I grew up on a farm and they'll get you. Mother chickens, don't matter how big you are and how little they are, they'll get you if you mess with one of their babies. Same way with a cow or a horse. When you're tagging a calf's ear and because you're wanting to make sure that you know they get tagged and stuff, you just better watch the mother. If I hadn't had the little dog that I used to have down the country when I lived down there, I found one of the babies sleeping. I just sat down over it and I got the tag, and about that time it let out a little squeal, just a little burr, you know, and boy, here was mama right in my, and I mean, I could feel her breath on me. I'm like, oh, don't get me. I'm just going to put a tag and I'll be gone. And my dog got right in between us. And I'm thinking, oh, I love my dog. And I wasn't trying to hurt it. I was trying to help it. But that mother thought, my baby is under. And she was just right there like, I'm right here. Can you feel me? And she's doing that. And I'm like, oh, God. How'd you get to heaven? A cow killed me. Well, welcome to heaven. Now, I've been giving you some illustrations along with the scriptures and the blessings. Go to Daniel, the first chapter. And let me give you a classic example of blessed are you when people persecute and revile you and say all manner of evil against you. This is a classic example in Daniel. And it really shows, and keep in mind, this is Old Testament. This is even before the grace and the mercy that's been poured out on us and living under grace, not the law. But just look at what it is. And to set this up, well, we'll just read it. Look at verse 1, Daniel 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. So here comes Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, and they seize Jerusalem and take part of them captive, and be like, say, China or Russia coming over and taking authority over our country. And then it said, and the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand. And so the Lord's in this thing. How many knows God sets up government and God tears them down? We think we do, you know. We do. We think, you know, Obama's health care is going to ruin us. You know, you hear people say that. Well, Republicans and Democrats is not going to ruin us. Lack of morale will ruin us. And God will turn us over somewhere else if we keep on the pace that we're going right now. And just know God will be in charge of that. Now, here's the good news. The good news is He can still bless us in the midst of our slavery and our bondage. That's what He's talking about. Basically, over in our text is that, you know what, there's people that's going to persecute you and it's going to feel bad, but I'm going to be there and you ought to jump up and down because great is your reward. I'm going to be in the midst of that. And that's where we need to identify and find God, is in the midst of what we're going through. Look for God. Look for reward because He's there if your heart's right. If it's for righteous sake. Now, if you've brought it on and you've lashed back, don't look for the blessings. Don't look for the check. If you've acted like the devil, don't look for the check. Here's the good news, though. If you've been acting like the devil and in the midst of your persecution, you can repent and change sides, and then you can still receive a blessing. That's the good news. How many knows what God scores on the mercy test? He scores a 16. He's at the top. His mercy endures forever. Forever. So you can change, even if you've been, you know, on the other side. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, to his hand with some of the articles of the house of God. You notice He didn't give them all. I love that. You can read past stuff like that, but He gave them some of the articles of God. It doesn't matter if whoever comes in this country, He might let some of the churches stand. And you could ask this new government, new regime, why is that church? Oh, you know, they're nothing to us. And they might give you all these kind of reasons. But how many knows God can put light? And if somebody invades our country, He may not let them invade or take anything from certain parts of our country because He's God. And I think He does that to show that He says, you know what, I'll let them in, but I won't let them take everything. Remember with Job? When he first started, remember with Job, he said, oh, you can take everything, but don't touch his person. And then the devil comes back and he has another conversation because Job is doing what he's doing for righteous sake. He's being persecuted unfairly just because God said, have you considered my servant Job? So Job's righteous. Said he's a righteous man, none like Job. So this is the righteous being persecuted. And he can't do anything to Job unless God says. Now that aggravates us and it messes up our minds sometimes because we think we know if God doesn't allow it and then we go through certain things and it can mess our mind up. Unless we say God is sovereign and He knows more about it than me and He will give me power to go through. He didn't deliver me from, but He will give me power to go through. Job said, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Job said, I know my Redeemer lives. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And he never changed his countenance, never changed his heart. And at the end of his time, he's given twice what he had. Because he was blessed in the midst of persecution. Same with these guys. Watch this. Going down to verse 3, he says, then the king instructed whatever his name is, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles. And so here's the picture. The picture is the best of the best. Be like them coming in our church and say, okay, you know, I'll take you and I'll take you and I'll take you. And wouldn't that be devastating if they came in and they looked at Haley and said, oh, you know, she's young, she's educated, we'll take her. Wouldn't that devastate you? Wouldn't that devastate you? What about your child? What if they took your child? Yeah, Anna, you know, you play the piano, we can use that, so we'll take Anna. And well, I tell you, Miss Donna, they better catch her. Because these two ladies wouldn't be happy. I'm just telling you, that's what they did to these guys. Just in case we kind of soft pedal who they are and what's happening in their life, that would be like that. Like they took your child because they're sharp and they're bright and they took your baby. I mean, that makes a whole difference, doesn't it? We can read about somebody like this, they've taken their baby, but boy, when you put yourself in there and it's another country and they've just taken your baby and they've taken all your freedoms, now you will be under our rule and you'll never see your children again because we can use them. I mean, those are still blessing, even in bondage, when you belong to Jesus. Listen, if you get a hold of this, you can have peace in the valley. You can have peace when you're going through. Because everybody in this building is going to go through. I can tell you that right now. You're going to go through something you don't want to go through somewhere. And most of us, several times over a lifetime. It says in verse 4, the young men in whom he was, there was no blemish, good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge, quick to understand, who had ability to serve the king's palace, not to serve themselves, not to get an education. They're chosen to go serve somebody else's purpose. How many has ever said this? Well, I'll do it, but I don't like it. One little defiant boy one time, his mama said, sit down. She'd had it with him, said, sit down. He sat down in the chair and he said, I'm sitting on the inside, but I mean the outside, but I'm standing on the inside. That's the way we are sometimes. And he says, who had the ability to serve in the king's palace and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. In other words, this is nothing about them. This is all for the king's sake. How many knows when somebody asks you if you want to partner in something or do something and you know it's all about them, how many just gets real excited about that? I don't. You know, hey, you want to help me with this? Well, what you going to do? Well, I'm going to do this with it, and I'm going to get this, I'm going to have this, and it's going to bless me. You want to help me? Probably not. Thanks for asking, though. And the king appointed them to daily provisions. Now they don't get a choice in what they're going to eat. Most of us like a choice in what we eat. We're Americans. We like a choice in what we eat. He appointed them daily provisions, the king's delicacies. King likes it, so you get it. And these are the blessed people. Remember, the others are just bondage, and they're not given all these provisions. These are the blessed in bondage. So they don't get a choice. So they give him the king's delicacies, the wine he drank, and 3 years of training for them. So they're in boot camp in a country they've never been to. They've been torn out of their family's grasp. And so at the end of that time, they might serve before the king. 3 year, all about the king. This is 3 years of your life, all about somebody else. Now from among those, the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. You're going to change your name. You're not going to be Haley and Anna anymore. You're going to be Firefly and Shushu, or whatever, you know. Well, I don't like that name. It doesn't matter if you like that name. That's your name now. You understand? Shushu and Firefly, you understand? It's not about you anymore. It's about the king. Well, I don't like that name. Well, get over it. Get used to it. Because you could lose your head if you say anything. I mean, no, that's stress. That's stress. Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel purposed in his heart. Daniel purposed in his heart. How many knows it's a heart thing? Do what is right. Keep a righteous heart. And look for the reward. I'm telling you, stick your hand out. When you got a righteous heart and you're going through trials, stick your hand out. I don't feel like having a righteous heart. I feel like I'm getting the short end of this deal. But I love them and I pray blessing on them. Where's my reward? I'm waiting. I'm waiting because you promised. I'm waiting because you said you would give it. I'm not here because I'm trying to be selfish. I'm here because I know my rights as your child. Now, it may not be a monetary blessing, but how many knows there's something a lot more powerful than a monetary blessing? That's a peace of mind that you can't get anywhere else in this world. It's a heart that says, you know, it's good, my thoughts, I'm not stressed, I'm not tore up, I'm not, you know, God is in this and I'm blessed. So he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portions of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested. He didn't demand. He had a good heart, and he didn't demand, but he requested. You have not because you ask not. Therefore, he's in bondage. He's under the king's authority. He's under rule from the king, but he says, I'm blessed. I'm in a mess, but I'm blessed. Somebody need to just say, I can be blessed in a mess. I can be blessed in a mess because who I serve. His blessings are not cut off in the mess. Therefore, he requested the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor. Let me know if God can give you favor in a mess. I can give you favor in a mess. I'll tell you, You know, if I was stand up here and try to think of all the times God has brought favor in the messes that I've had to walk into as a pastor and a leader over the years, it'd take a long time. And every time my heart was right and I didn't get, you know, my selfish thoughts in there and get it all tangled up, what I want, every time I'd walk into a mess, I mean, God's favor would be with me. And almost, I would say 95 to 99% of the time when I walk into a mess, it comes out with a good ending because the heart of me is right and the individuals are right, because most people want to do what's right. Now, if we walk into a mess and they decide to walk off, then that's just, they can go. They won't be blessed, but they can go. But you'll still have favor inside a mess. Are you with me? This is good stuff. This is good stuff God's telling us. Gave him favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. Therefore, the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food, you know, meat and fruit and stuff. You don't want, he said, for why should he see your faces look worse than the young men who are your age and then would endanger my head before the king? And this guy can lose his head, literally, if the king finds out about this and it goes against his orders. And it's just that simple. And then somebody will replace him like it's a piece of meat. So I'm thinking, if I'm a Babylonian servant and I get this request from a Jewish person that goes against the king's orders, you're not getting what you requested. Dismiss. And he wouldn't either, except for God gave him favor and he liked him and he let him inside that Babylonian's heart and mind in a place where just the closest people live. and he couldn't turn his request down. That's powerful. If I came to you, Randy, and I said, you know what? We lived in a country, you know, if you steal, you know, they just kill you. And I realize that. But I'd like for you to help me, because it's going to take, I need somebody to hold this stuff while I'm getting some more, and I need your help. Would you help me steal? And I'm going to keep all the loot, but would you help me? How many knows that would take favor for Randy to say, okay. Either that or you'd have done lost your mind. Yeah. Okay. And that's what this guy says. Okay, we'll give it a try. Knowing he could lose his head over food. But the favor, God will give him blessing. God will give him favor. Listen to me. When you're in a mess, don't be surprised what kind of favor he'll give you if you'll keep your heart right. Stop pouting. Stop feeling sorry. Stop wallowing in the mess. And just look for the blessing in the mess. Everybody say, blessed in the mess. Blessed in the mess. Looking for the blessing in the messing. Huh? All right, and he says, so Daniel, verse 11, so Daniel said to the servant whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, okay? That's their new names. Please test your servants in 10 days. Just give us 10 days. Let us eat vegetables and eat and drink water, and then look at our appearance. Verse 13. Give us an examination, what he's saying, before you and the appearance of the young man that eat the portion of the king's delicacies. As you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them in 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter, when fatter was a good word, in flesh than all the young men who ate the portions of the king's delicacies. Thus, the steward took away their portions of the delicacies. Well, I like wine and T-bones. Well, you're not blessed in the mess. Because now we're changing. Took away the wine and the steak and he gave them vegetables. As for these four, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. He gave them a blessing and a mess. And you know the stories that we preach and teach on. We won't go to them. And then the old king, remember, he has a dream and nobody can interpret his dreams. This is the man they're under. And so the king says, here's the deal. I wake up and I've been having these nightmares, reoccurring nightmares, and I can't get any sleep. And here's my problem. I can't remember what I dreamed, but it's horrible. So he calls all of his astrologers and magicians and all the spiritualists, you know, the New Age people. He called them all in and he says, here's the deal. I need somebody to tell me what I dreamed and then give me the interpretation. They said, well, we can't tell you what your dream was, but we can interpret if you'll tell us what it was. He said, I can't remember. He said, but I can just remember it's horrible and I can't sleep. And you either tell me what I'm dreaming and give me the interpretation or I'm going to cut you all in little bitty pieces. Blessed in a mess. Everybody say, blessed in a mess. How many knows that is a mess? How many would go ahead and pray if you knew somebody's going to cut you in pieces if you didn't get their dream? I'd ask God, wouldn't you? You know, I'd really appreciate it if you could give me what this guy's dreaming. If not, I guess I'll see you in a little while. You know. And he asked, and he gave Daniel the dream. You know, it was the big calf-looking thing with a head and the gold head, and told him what it was, and iron and brass and clay, and he told him what it was, and he goes in, he tells the king, everybody's safe. Everybody's diet was changed because the guy that was blessed in the mess wanted to eat this. Everybody's head was saved because the guy that was blessed in the mess had the answer to the king's question, and so everybody is blessed that's around the guy that's blessed in the mess. It not only affects you, when you have an attitude of God's going to bless me in the mess, and I'm reaching up, I just give me my blessing. I need healing, I need help, I need peace, I need whatever it is in your mess, what do you need? Reach up and grab it. If you keep your heart right and your mind right and pure before the Lord, because He blesses people in a mess. And then the old stupid king, he don't stop there, does he? Remember the old stupid king? I mean, they just keep going. builds a big statue and says, oh, you know, his leaders say, you know, it would be so cool if you build a big statue and everybody could bow down to it and it'd be in honor of you. And he says, oh, that sounds good. And remember the three Hebrew children, they said, we can't bow. It's got the new names and land that they don't want to be at. So we can't bow because our heart won't allow us to. We've got to keep our heart right. He said, well, if you don't bow, I'm going to throw you in the furnace. They said, well, just throw us in the furnace because we're not bowing. Got to keep your heart right. You can't bow down to the enemy. You can't bow down to his terms when you're in a mess. How many knows the enemy's going to try to help you bow down when you're in a mess? Well, they shouldn't have said that about you. Just go talk to somebody else about them and start something on them. Just give them a peace of mind. You can give them peace of mind if you want to, but you won't be blessed in a mess. You'll just be more persecuted. You can walk alone in a blessed in a mess. But you'll lose the bless. Or it can be restored if you've been there and you change your attitude in your heart. And then same way with Daniel. Remember, the three Hebrew children come out of the fire and he said, oh, you serve the real God. And then they say, oh, nobody can have any kind of decree or petition anybody for a certain period of time. Daniel, what'd he do? He just kept praying because he's like, I can't quit praying. And they throw him in the lion's den and the lions lick their chops and say, can we eat him, Lord? And he said, nope, not this time because this guy's blessed in a mess. Can we lick him, Lord? No, you can't even lick him. Just stay away from him. He's blessed in a mess. In the lion's den. Because he's blessed in a mess. Where are you at this morning? I don't know where you're at, but if you're in a mess, I'm telling you, you serve a God that gives a blessing in a mess. He's here for you. He's here for you. But you got to make sure your heart, check your motive. Let's do that real quick. Father, in the name of Jesus, we all have times and seasons where we're in a mess. And some, I'm sure, that's walked in this place today is they're facing a mess. Some sort, some battle, mental, emotional, physical, whatever it may be, they're just in a mess. And I ask in Jesus' name that first of all, you would help them examine their heart right now. And if they've had the wrong attitude, the wrong heart, saying the wrong things, thinking the wrong thoughts, we ask in Jesus' name that you would help them to repent right now and say, I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me and I repent of the way I've acted, the thoughts I've had, the words I've said, my actions, whatever it may be. I repent now with a true heart. I turn from that and I turn to righteousness today and I ask you to forgive me and purify my heart. And now, Lord, I ask you to bless me in the mess. You said, great is your reward. I'm looking for reward. Whatever that may be, Lord, I'll either reward to you, but I'm looking for reward today in the mess. Not when I come through. I'm looking for blessing in the mess today, Lord. According to your word and according to what you said in Matthew 5. We just hold you to your word today and we thank you for opening the windows of heaven today and pouring out a bless in a mess. In Jesus' name, amen. While Chris is praying, heads are bowed, if you're here today and you need Christ, I mean, you just need to make Him Lord of your life. You need to invite Him into your heart and say, you know what, I've thought about it and I've worked around it, but today I'd just like to invite Christ into my heart. If you're here and you just need Jesus to be your Lord and Savior, would you lift your hand? I'd like to lead you in a prayer, change your life forever so you can be blessed in the mess. Anyone today? Everybody good with Jesus Christ today? Okay. All right. Then look up here. Father, I just pray that you would just bless our congregation today. Let them be light and salt this week. Let people see Jesus in and through them is our prayer. Give them strength and anointing to perform that. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. And all the church said, amen.